from the Sky News Centre at 7. A former investigator involved in the prosecutions of sub-postmasters has insisted he was never told anything was wrong with the Horizon accounting system as he appeared before an inquiry. Stephen Bradshaw's denied he and colleagues behaved like mafia gangsters towards post office staff, hundreds of whom were wrongly convicted. Former sub-postmistress Janet Skinner was jailed because of discrepancies on her system and was investigated by Mr. Bradshaw. She's given her reaction to his evidence.
Quite annoying, more than anything, but I think also it's quite refreshing to see him on the other side of the fence being questioned.
Israel has dismissed as baseless a case against the country at the International Criminal Court, accusing it of carrying out a genocide in Gaza. It's been brought by South Africa, which is pressing for an order for all military operations there to stop. Zain Danger is Director General of South Africa's Department of International Relations and Cooperation.
1% of Gazan population being killed in this conflict is significant. That percentage alone makes this one of the most devastating wars that have impacted on civilians in the last 100 years. That, in our view, cannot be a mistake.
An oil tanker has been captured in the Gulf of Oman by Iran. The ship was reported to have been boarded by armed men in military uniforms this morning. The US aviation regulators announced it's formally investigating Boeing after a plane lost a door mid-flight. The FAA wants to know if the aircraft maker failed to ensure its completed products were in a safe condition. Scotland will follow England and Wales in banning unlicensed Exdale bully dogs. The First Minister has confirmed the move, saying he plans to replicate UK legislation. And petrol is now cheaper than at any point in more than 2 years. The AA says the average cost of a litre of unleaded was £1.40 yesterday, the lowest since October 2021. That's the latest. I'm Charlie Maggs.
This is Phoenix FM. FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Hi, right, good evening. Hope you're safe and well. It's 2 minutes past seven on a Thursday night. Thanks as always to Darren for the last hour and 98 not out. For the next hour, I'm John Chubb. Welcome into the non-league hour.
You're so chic, take it wherever love we eat.
plane, Virginia plane.
That was the song that kicked off the career of Brian Ferry of Roxy Music way back in 1972, Virginia Plane. So, on to the main topic of this programme, which is non-league football. Steps 1-6 across Essex and East London, and we take a look at the women's game as well. We've got an exclusive interview coming up this week as well. More of that a bit later on. But we're going to focus first, though, on the results from the last week. Starting off in the National League, where on Saturday, Southend United entertained FC Halifax Town, who started the day in seventh place. And it was a really fine win for the Shrimpers at Roots Hall. They ran out 3-0 winners. Hemi Sandat, who the club sold to Hull City not so long ago, but he's currently back at Roots Hall on loan. He put the Blues in the lead in only the third minute. And it remained that way until 11 minutes from time, but a couple of late goals from Gus Scott Morris secured the Shrimpers all 3 points. And Dagenham Redbridge, who weren't in action on Saturday, they travelled across London to play Barnet on Tuesday night, and it was a 2-1 defeat for the Daggers. In spite of going into the lead in the 27th minute through Josh Rees, the first half was in the first half, injury time actually, Nicky Kabamba scored, and after the break, Zach Brunt scored on the hour mark to give the high-flying Bees a 2-1 victory. And the big news out of Victoria Road this week is that Dagenham and Redbridge owner Peter Freund is looking to sell the club. He announced in a statement on the club's website and social media that he felt he had failed fans in not returning the club to the Football League, from which they were relegated in 2016. Freund assumed control of the club and became executive chairman in 2018. His statement read as follows: "I've proven not to be the individual to move this club towards promotion, despite investing heavily in our roster. On this front, with my deepest sincerity, I feel I have failed you, the supporters, and for that I will forever be filled with a great deal of regret. Therefore, effective immediately, I have decided to look for new investors to join the club, and I will make plans to step aside to allow a new individual or group to take the Daggers and the club's amazing legacy forward." And the league table, I think, tells its own story. It's been a very mixed bag of results for the Daggers so far this season. And having lost 13 of their last 27, their 27 league games so far, they are currently in 17th place, just 3 points above the relegation zone. Southend United are only a couple of places above them in 15th, but remember, they have had that 10-point deduction. Chesterfield remain top of the table on 62 points, 6 points clear of second place Bromley, and Chesterfield have 3 games in hand on them as well. Barnet, who beat the Daggers on Tuesday night, are in third place, followed by Solihull Moors, Altrincham, Oldham Athletic and Rochdale, who moved into the playoff spots at the expense of FC Halifax Town. At the other end, Kidderminster Harriers, Oxford City, AFC Fylde and Ebbsfleet United are the sides currently in the relegation places.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
98 FM. So, turning our attention to the National League South, and all three of our local sides were in action on Saturday, and it was a very good day for all of them. Chelmsford City moved up to third initially with a 3-2 win away at Worthing, another side in the playoff spots. And Freddie Hockey gave the Clarets a lead in only the first minute. Charlie Ruff doubled that score line after 18 minutes. Ollie Pierce pulled back from Worthing on 26. Jermaine Francis made it 3-1 7 minutes from time. Pierce scored his second deep into injury time, but the Clarets held on for all 3 points. And there was a fine win for Avely away to Welling United, who moved back into the playoff spots as a result. They really are turning around their form at the moment. 3-1 win. Nana Kiai gave Avely the lead in the 11th minute. Alex Hernandez doubled that score 4 minutes later. And the game was as good as over by half time because Charlie Hughes added a third in first half time added on. Welling scored from the penalty spot just after the hour, but it finished up Welling United 1, Avely 3. A good win too for Braintree Town after some indifferent results over the Christmas and New Year period, including back-to-back defeats against their local rivals Chelmsford City. But on this occasion, they entertained Hampton and Richmond Borough, another team in the playoff spot at Cressing Road, and ran out 3-1 winners. Matt Ward opened the scoring just after half an hour, and two further goals from Shaq Coulthurst gave the Iron a 3-1 victory. So Chelmsford in fourth place now, just behind Maidstone United, who had that amazing FA Cup victory on Saturday in the third round against EFL League One Stevenage. And that's earned the lowest ranked side left in the competition a visit to Portman Road to take on Ipswich Town in the fourth round. Avely, as I say, back in the playoffs, spots in seventh place, just ahead of Torquay United on goal difference. I know Torquay have a couple of games in hand on them. Braintree up to 13th after that win over Hampton Richmond, who remain in second place just behind Yeovil Town. But Yeovil look like they're going to run away with this league. They're 13 points clear. And incredibly, they had a crowd of over 5,000 for their local derby against Bath City on Saturday, which they won 2-0. Worthing dropped to fifth after that, defeated Chelmsford. Bath in sixth place, just above Avely. At the other end of the table, it's currently Dover Athletic, Havant and Waterlooville, Welling United and Eastbourne Borough in the relegation places. So now we turn our attention to the Isthmian Premier League and something of a bombshell for Hornchurch, who on Saturday drew 1-1 at home to Horsham. But the league leaders were rocked after the match when in the clubhouse, talking to the club supporters, manager Steve Morrison announced he was leaving Bridge Avenue and he is moving back into the professional game, taking over as manager at EFL League Two bottom club Sutton United, and he left the club with immediate effect. A statement on the club's website from the chairman, Alex Sharp, said, "I'm disappointed to learn that Steve will be leaving us after 6 months, following probably the most impressive half of a season we have ever seen. Steve has brought a level of professionalism to the club that has lifted us from the disappointment of last season's playoff final defeat. And whilst I'm sad to see Steve leave from the club's perspective, I'm delighted that he has an exciting opportunity to return to the Football League so quickly, and feel proud that Hornchurch has provided the platform for that return. Steve has been fantastic for the club, and the foundation he has put in place sees us top of the league with games in hand and a fantastic goal difference. And we will do our best now to close out the season as we've started off. I would like to place on record my sincere thanks to Steve and to Ant Fenton, who will take up the role of Steve's assistant from Monday. Best of luck to Steve and Ant for the future. It has been great to getting to know you both and your families, and we guarantee you a very warm welcome whenever you return to the club. We will take our time now making sure that we get the right replacement for Steve, and we will keep you all posted of our progress," which I thought was a very classy statement, actually, because he did do a remarkable job in his short time at the club. They're currently 7 points clear at the top of the table. They have lost only one of their 22 matches in the league so far. And it really has been an impressive time for them. But if he can work that kind of magic at Sutton United, then the club could well hold on to their Football League place, I reckon. Meanwhile, Bidwicky Town had a win on Saturday on the road. They were away to struggling Kingstonian, and they won 3-1. George Wine, Moses Emmanuel, and Matt Johnson all scoring in the second half for Gary McCann's men. Kingstonian replied from the second penalty spot 14 minutes from the end. Hashtag United, meanwhile, they slipped to a 2-1 defeat away to Dulwich Hamlet. Max Cornhill scoring Tags goal 30 minutes from time. Over 3,300 watching that one at Champion Hill. Dulwich, one of the best supported clubs outside of the National League, certainly. Canvey Island, meanwhile, they had a new face in their lineup. They've signed winger Kai Brown on loan from Avely. He only recently joined them from Basildon United, of course, but he couldn't prevent the goals from slipping to a 2-1 defeat away to relegations threatened Haringey Borough. Anyway, Ronto gave Canvey the lead in only the fifth minute, but Haringey scored a couple of late goals in the last 3 minutes, much to the frustration of Canvey, to give the North Londoners all 3 points. And Concord Rangers once again had a match postponed. In fact, they've had two postponed this week. They were due to play at the Aspect Arena last night as well. But their pitch is still providing issues there. And they remain bottom of the table, having played less games than anybody else. And they're starting to get cut adrift now. Hashtag United were in action again on Tuesday night, and they slipped to another defeat, quite a heavy one this time, at Potters Bar Town, who scored 5 goals against them without reply. So, Bidwicky, after that win on Saturday, they are in the playoff spots in 4th place, behind Chatham Town and Enfield Town. Wingate and Finchley are in 5th place, just below them. Hashtag 7th after those 2 defeats, and they are now 6 points adrift of the playoff spots. Canvey in 14th after that defeat at Haringey on Saturday. And as I say, Concord remain at the foot of the table. Meanwhile, turning our attention to the Isthmian North and Saturday's matches first of all. A win for Bowers and Pitsy against Witham Town. They were 2-0 winners at the Len Salmon Stadium. Ben Williamson, either side of halftime, the first of those came from the penalty spot. Brentwood Town drew to all at home to high-flying Felixstowe and Walton United. Wyand Reid and Becky McKenzie were second-half goal scorers for Keith Rowland's side. Haybury Swifts entertained Enfield at Scraley Road and drew 1-1. An own goal from Enfield's Leach gave Swifts a lead, and Enfield equalised just after the hour. Swifts ended that match with 10 men after Lee Noble was dismissed 4 minutes from time. Maldon Tiptree enjoyed a win on the road. They're currently just outside the playoff spots after winning 2-1 away at Ipswich Wanderers. Jaden Gibson and Shane Temple were the scorers for the Jabbers. There was defeat though for Brightling Sea Region, who dropped to 9th. They were away to the league leaders Lowestoft Town and slipped to a 2-1 defeat, although Bradley Russell did score a late goal for Region. The home side held on for all 3 points. And Tuesday night saw a home fixture for Basildon United against the bottom club, Stowmarket Town, who are in dire straits. They have yet to win this season. The only side in the North without a win, although they did pick up a point on Saturday. They've had a change of management recently and have brought in reinforcements, but not a massive change of fortunes. They must have thought that would be the case on Tuesday night at Gardeners Close after they took the lead in the 50th minute. Although Samir Ali equalised for Basildon on 66 minutes. Stone Market regained the lead 8 minutes from time, and with just 4 minutes to go of normal time, it looked like they might pick up their first 3 points of the season, but an amazing late rally from Basildon United saw them win 4-2. The first of those goals was scored by debutant midfielder Jacob Catonia, who Basildon manager AJ Ashenike has signed from his old club Fisher. And Sire Blackwood, a minute from time, and Callum Fitzer right at the end were the scorers of the other goals for Basildon United. So looking at the league table, Lowestoft remain clearly at the front. 5 points clear of Felixstowe and Walton United, who drew up Brentwood on Saturday. Bowers and Pitsy in third on 37. Basildon United fourth on 36 after that win on Tuesday. And Haybury Swifts currently in fifth place. Looking down the table, Walden and Tiptree are sixth. Brentwood Town are seventh. Brightlingsea in ninth. Walthamstow are tenth. And Walthamstow have a new manager. They have announced Vinnie Murray as their new boss. He returned to the club in November as Nicky Ironton's assistant, but Ironton, just after he arrived, departed the club on December the 3rd. Murphy had two spells at Stowe as a player. Redbridge and Great Wakering Rovers are among his old clubs as well. He's also done some coaching at Grays Athletic, so we wish him the very best of luck in his new role. Getting back to the East Midlands North table, currently Witham Town sit in 11th place, Redbridge 15th, and Grays Athletic just above the drop zone in 18th place with just the 2 wins so far, but they are 8 points clear of Stowmarket. And completing our look at Step 4, Waltham Abbey were in action on Saturday, but they managed to beat Leighton Town by 2-1, thanks to a late comeback with goals from Hallett and Baker. And Abbey are in 4th place after that win. We're going to take a look at the Essex Senior League very soon.
Cricket, lovely cricket. If you like your cricket, then don't miss 98 Not Out every Thursday between 6 and 7 right here on Phoenix FM with me, Darren Mutu. I'll be bringing you all the latest news locally, nationally and internationally from around the world of cricket. There'll be some guests, a bit of chat and some music too, so don't miss it every Thursday, 6 till 7 on Phoenix FM. We'll be right back.
better.
That's come a song from Lenny Kravitz, and that's called TK421. You're listening to Brentwood and Billy Ricky's Phoenix 98 FM. I'm John Chubb, 26 minutes past 7 on a Thursday night, and this is the Non-League Hour. Well, now I'm going to turn my attention to the Essex Senior League busy programme of matches this last week, which began last Friday night, and another heavy defeat for struggling Ilford. They entertained Harbury Sports, and having conceded eight but against Great Wakery Rovers the previous week, they were beaten 5-1 by Hullbridge on this occasion. And looking at Saturday's matches, a couple of postponements, Athletic Newham versus FC Clacton and Takeley versus Romford, but other matches survived the weather. Barking beat Woodford Town by 3-0. It finished Frenford 0, Buckhurst Hill 1. Great Wakering Rovers 2, West Essex 1. Housted Town 2, White Ensign 1. Little Oakley were beaten 4-1 at home by the leaders Tilbury, and second-placed Sporting Bangor United beat struggling Coggeshall Town by 5-1. And in Saturday's other match, it finished Stanway Rovers 1, Saffron Walden Town 1. There was due to be a match on Tuesday night with Tilbury travelling to Housted Town. That was postponed due to the weather, and there was a game on Tuesday night which was FC Clacton 0, Takeley 0, and games between Buckhurst Hill and Romford, and Coggeshall Town and Saffron Walden Town were postponed. Incidentally, there was one Essex Senior Cup tie on Tuesday night, and a bit of an upset caused by Little Oakley. They beat Isthmian Northside Brentwood Town by 1-0, and they go through to the next stage of the competition. So the league table currently sees Tilbury at the top with 48 points from their 21 matches so far. Sporting Bangor United in second place, 24 and 47. Romford are third, Great Wakery Rovers fourth, and Housted are fifth. At the other end, Coggeshall Town still bringing up the rear, which is 9 points so far. And Ilford are in 19th place on 16 points.
I'm John Chubb, inviting you to join me here on Phoenix FM on Saturday afternoons for Phoenix Sport. The top local, national and international sports stories, plus live scores, results, reports, interviews, quiz questions and my sporting anniversaries. And lots of great music too. That's Phoenix Sport, every Saturday from 3 till 6 p.m. here on Phoenix 98 FM.
One other result from Step 5 from the Spartan South Midlands League Premier Division. Stansted travelled to Tring Athletic on Saturday, but they were beaten by 3-1. But our featured match on Phoenix Sport on Saturday took us to Step 6, namely the Thurlow Dunn Division 1 South, where Hutton, who've enjoyed a fine first season in senior football so far, entertained another side going well in the Alone on South, Dunmo Town at New Lodge, and Ad Gardner was down there to watch the action for us.
What a game here at New Lodge. It has finished Hutton 2, Dunmo Town 3. The visitors coming back from 2-0 down to win a thriller at New Lodge. It really looked like a different Dunmo in the second half after Hutton dominated the first. Going in, as say, 2-0 up, and it could have been more. Boxall and Rawlings really having a field day down the flanks for Hunt in the first half, and those two combined for 29 minutes for Rawlings to tap in at the back post. They had the ball in the net again shortly afterwards through their own goal, but luckily for the visitors the flag was up. But then we did get an own goal right on half time when a Freddie Gard free kick was turned in by a defender, so it looked really all over by half time. You couldn't see Dunmo coming back at all. You just didn't see them at all in the first half. But enter Ruben Falana, a half-time substitute for the visitors, and he hit a tremendous left-foot curler which dipped under the bar after 59 minutes. So the goal of the season contender from him. And then just 2 minutes later, I mentioned half-time the strike force of Dunmo had scored 31 goals between them so far. We hadn't seen them at all in the first half, but we did in the second, and Stuart Zanoni got his 14th of the season after 61 minutes. His strike partner, Cansdale, saw a header saved shortly after that. And then the visitors completed the comeback after 70 minutes, and it was Zanoni again who smashed in from close range. That was 3-2. Then we had a frantic ending. You couldn't see Hutton really coming back. They had two big chances at the end, both going to substitute Sean Callahan. First one came after 87 when the goalkeeper flapped it across, but Callahan could only blaze the ball over. And then a minute later he was put through after a defensive slip, but his shot could only find the legs of the goalkeeper. What a game here at New Lodge. Legs of the goalkeeper. And then Zamoli almost got his hat-trick in injury time, almost catching out Grossart at his near post, but he forced a great save. We had ugly scenes, sadly, at the end when Dunmo's celebrations were a bit too much for Hutton. We had 10 minutes of injury time. They couldn't find the equaliser. A frantic match has ended. Hutton 2, Dunmo 3. As regards to the promotion picture, a real blow this for Hutton, because Clapton, the leaders, have won. Dunmo back in the picture as well, just 3 points behind Hutton. 3-2 Dunmo.
So a typically feisty affair from the furlough nun on Saturday at New Lodge, but victory for the visitors, Dunmo Town. Saturday's other results were as follows: Burnham Ramblers 4, Harlow Town 5, Cannonswood 0, Wormley Rovers 0, Clapton Community 4, Barkingside 0, Enfield Borough beat Southend Manor 5-4. It finished Hackney Wick 3, Basildon Town 3, Parkview 0, Maiton Baker 2, and St Margaretsbury 2, North West London 4. So there were a couple of games on Tuesday night as well. Newbury Forest travelled to Enfield Borough and won 2-1, and Wormley were beaten 2-0 at home by Brimsdown. So Clapton Community, 5 points clear at the top of the table after their win on Saturday. Harlow Town in second place, followed by Hutton, Benfleet and Dunmo Town. Meanwhile, in the Thurlow Nun First Division North, it's finished Holland 4, FC Peterborough 1. They were the only Essex side in action on Saturday. Framlingham Town, currently top of the league, just ahead of Stanway Pegasus, 2 points clear of them. Holland are in third, Habersham Barhoxton 7th, and Wivenhoe Town, they are currently in 14th place. Tune now from Nick Lowe. This is Cool to Be Quiet.
Oh, I can't take another heartache, though you say you're my friend. I'm at my wit's end. You say your love is bona fide, but that don't coincide with the things that you do. And when I ask you to the night,
up off the ground to have you knock me back down again and again. And when I ask you to explain, you say you gotta be cruel to be kind in the right measure. Cruel to be kind, it's a very good sign. And cruel to be kind means that I love you. Off the ground to have you knock me back down again and again. When I ask you to explain, you say you gotta be cruel to be kind in the right measure. Cruel to be kind, it's a very good sign. And cruel to be kind means that I love you.
Is Phoenix 98 FM.
So after a Christmas break, women's football returns this coming weekend, and that includes the non-league sides from many of our local non-league clubs. And the big game of the day is in the FA Women's National League Southern Premier Division, where hashtag United, currently top of the league, travel to Portsmouth Women, who are currently second. Meanwhile, at New Lodge, Binnewickie Town entertain London Bees. Both of those have 2 o'clock kickoffs. Meanwhile, in the Eastern Region Women's Football League Premier Division, where we have a couple of local sides, Bowers and Pitsy Ladies are at home to St Albans City Women. That kicks off at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon at the Len Salmon Stadium. And Barking, our other local side in that league, have an away fixture against Kingsling Town Ladies, also with a 2 o'clock kickoff. And in the Eastern Region Women's League Division 1 South, where we have quite a few teams, they are in action again this Sunday. And that includes Southend United Community Sports Ladies. If I can find the fixture list, just bear with me 1 second. There we go. They are away to Binnewickie Town Women Development. Hutton Women are away to Cheshunt Women. Lawford Ladies travel to Hertford Town. Stanway Pegasus Ladies are away at Wadsden Park Ladies. And all of those matches are 2 o'clock kickoffs. Meanwhile, in the London South East Regional Women's League Division 1 North, that returns this weekend. And Hackney have a trip to Sport London East Benfica. Clapton Community are away at Camden and Islington United. I'll have a full roundup of results from those games on next week's show.
Join Patrick Sherring for Friday's edition of 1-2-3. Conversations with guests from the community and beyond. I can't wait for the weekend to begin. the Friday teaser quiz, a vintage chart, live music sessions, and so much more. So spend your Friday 1-2-3 with Patrick here on Phoenix FM.
So this weekend, the fourth round of the FA Vars takes place and several sides are still flying the flag for Essex, including Great Wakering Rovers of the Essex Senior League, who have an away tie against Whitchurch Alport. And earlier this week, our reporter Jack Patmore caught up with Wakering's manager, Marcus Bowers.
Thank you for joining me today, Marcus. How are you?
I'm all good, thank you, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. Your great Wakering Rovers side currently sit in fourth place in the Essex Senior League. Would you say that is a fair reflection on how your side have performed in the league this term?
Well, yeah, we took over 12 games ago. So we've managed, I think, 9 league games now. Won 8 out of 9, lost just the one. So it's a reflection on what we've done since we've been there, I think. There was a little bit lower than when we took over. But yeah, we're really happy with where we're sitting at the moment. I think if we win our game in hand, we can jump into second and hopefully we can just keep looking upwards.
Your run in the FA Vars has perhaps overshadowed your successful league campaign. After getting past Fakenham Town in round 3, you make the trip to Whitchurch on Saturday. Firstly, how proud are you of your side's run in this competition and what are your personal highlights so far?
Yeah, really proud to be honest. I think our first game, I think this is our fourth tie that we've been involved in. And we've been really good in all three, to be honest, so far. So, yeah, really, really proud of what we've achieved so far. But, yeah, the boys seriously believe we can go really far into the competition, as well as having a good league campaign. So, yeah, it's really exciting times, definitely.
What kind of test are you expecting from Whitchurch? And as well as the game itself, how good do you think these trips are to build up the squad's togetherness?
Yeah, we know it's going to be really tough. We can look into whatever we can look into. You can look on full-time websites. You can look at highlights. There's nothing like a cup tie. Travelling 4 hours away, 200 miles, you never know what to expect, to be honest. It could be a really tough, really, really tough game. They, I think, if I remember rightly, they've actually beat someone that he was either in the final or won the competition before. So they're not going to be a rollover at all. So, yeah, it's going to be tough, but we're fully prepared. The momentum's really, really strong. And, yeah, as you say, we're going up there on Friday. We're going to go early Friday and stay in a hotel. The squad togetherness is incredible. I've never been part of anything like it, to be honest. I've only been here 3 months. So, yeah, we're really, really looking forward to it. It's going to be an early start. But I think being all together, dinner together, breakfast together, it's really building something special, which is really good.
The FA Vars presents teams in the lower echelons of the English football pyramid with the opportunity to play at Wembley Stadium in the final. How confident are you that your squad can reach the latter stages of this competition?
Yeah, why not? This squad is excellent. It's so deep. I mean, we're getting to games now. We're leaving out really, really good players because this squad's so strong. Got not many injuries around the squad at the moment, and I actually expect that we're pretty much full strength this weekend. So we're going to have some tough decisions, but they're good headaches to have. I'd rather be having these good headaches than scratching around trying to find players here, there and everywhere. So, yeah, there's no reason why we can't go deep into the competition. We know that there's going to be really strong teams. I know some really strong teams are in it, but I'm really confident in this squad. And when you've got forwards scoring goals for fun, defensively, we've really tightened up, which I'm proud of as well. We're not gifting too many opportunities away. In the last three games, don't really remember our keeper making too many saves, which is a credit to how well we've defended and a credit to how well we hold the ball up top as well. We really relieve some pressure at times, which is really, really good.
You returned to Burroughs Park in October following a spell there as a player. Was it an easy decision to return to Great Wakering, and how hard was it to leave Basildon Town?
Yeah, it was difficult. It was difficult, to be honest. I played for Basildon Town for years, managed for 3.5 years. It was never going to be an easy decision. And to be honest, there was never going to be a right time in everyone's opinion. But for me, it was the right time. And when I got that call off of the chairman, It was really promising. I've been in contact with the chairman for years since I played for him. He's been top bloke for me all the way through. He was actually the first one to congratulate me when I took up managing at Basildon Town. Something that I always remember because he was always really good to me. As hard as it was to leave Basildon Town, I think the right opportunity for me. I always sort of said the right opportunity for me. I would take, and I thought Great Wakering was the best opportunity. One league above, unreal facilities, really nice facilities. A team that really shouldn't be in the Essex Senior League with the facilities, the backing they've got, they really should be back at step four.
How important is it to try and bounce back to the Isthmian North Division this season at the first time of asking after relegation last term?
Yeah, I mean, when we come in, it was a name for the playoffs. It was one of them. We've not had the greatest start, but they're in the contention. But the way we've got off, then it's now become a bit of it's probably a minimum now, to be honest, to hit the playoffs. Which, if we said that 9 games ago, you're probably thinking, nah, you're mad. But yeah, with what we've done so far, which we're really proud of, there's no reason why we can't aim for the top, to be honest. I know there's obviously Tilbury at top of the league. They're going to be really difficult to catch, but these boys seriously think that we can catch them. And while the confidence is high, I won't take that away from them at all. So yeah, I'd say I think playoffs are a minimum at this moment in time, in my opinion. I don't know what the club would say about that, to be honest. I think they would love the playoffs at least. But yeah, getting this club back to step four is it's a priority for us. Otherwise, if there weren't the ambition to do it, then it may have been a bit of a difficult choice to go or not. But this club wants to push back up, so I want to progress with the club. So yeah, I think to get back to step four is definitely the aim. Definitely.
You touched on it there, but what are your aims for the remaining month of the campaign?
As I say, step four football, definitely. Minimum playoffs, carry on going in the FA Vars, and then League Cups with the squad that we've got. We are able to probably push on all fronts, to be honest. We're quite a deep squad. I'm keen to keep them all around and use the squad to its maximum. We're going to have a lot of midweek games, let's say cup games. So there's plenty of football, loads of football left, loads of players that are going to be involved. But he's keen to sort of keep the momentum going. So cup, even if it is a cup game that maybe at the start we wasn't going to sort of prioritise, now we will look at it and go, actually, you know what, whatever team we put out, it's going to be strong, it's going to keep minutes in the legs, and it's going to rest players as well, which is, it's nice to be able to push on all four fronts, or five fronts I think it might be with the cup. So yeah, it's definitely an aim to push to step four is the minimum. That's our first requirement, and then good cup runs comes as a bonus.
So, grateful thanks to Marcus Bowers for his time, and also thanks to Jack for that interview. The other Vars ties involving local sides at the weekend, Tilbury, the Essex Senior League leaders, travel to Norfolk to take on Walsham the Willows, and Romford have a home tie at Rookery Hill. They face Stanway Pegasus. All of those kick off at 3 p.m. on Saturday.
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
And as well as the FA Vars fourth round, it's the FA Trophy fourth round on Saturday. And Parkside is where Aveley will be entertaining National League strugglers AFC Fylde. Chelmsford City also have the National League South, face another National League side, Wealdstone at SATS Melbourne Park. Both of those kick off at 3 p.m. on Saturday. Meanwhile, in the National League, just the one match on Saturday, and it involves Southend United. They are away to Eastleigh, a side who have been doing very well in the FA Cup, and they're currently in 11th place in the National League. National League South, none of our local sides are in action on Saturday, but there's one match for Braintree Town on Tuesday night. They host Weymouth at Cressing Road, a side currently just above the drop zone. 7:45 is the kick-off time for that one. And meanwhile, in the ESPN Premier League on Saturday, it's Billericay Town at home to Cray Wanderers. Hoosiers begin life after Steve Morrison with a trip to Carshalton Athletic. And Canvey Island at home to Kingstonian. Bottom club Concord have a trip to East Coast to take on Margate. And at Lens Hammond Stadium, it's hashtag United versus Bognor Regis Town, who are currently a couple of places below them. All of those 3 o'clock kickoffs. Some midweek action as well. Hashtag back in action at Lens Hammond on Monday night when Lewis and the visitors, 7:45 kickoff. And these will 7:45s as well. Big game at New Lodge on Tuesday night with Billericay Town hosting Leaders Hornchurch. Concord Rangers, they are due to play Potters Bar Town at the Aspect Arena. And turning our attention to the Isthmian North, it's on Saturday, Basildon United host struggling Ipswich Wanderers at Gardiners Close. Brightling Sea Regent there at home to Walthamstow. That would be Jimmy Murphy's first league game in charge of Stowe. Bowes and Pitsy their way to Bury Town. And it's Grays Athletic versus Heybridge Swifts, Malden Tiptree versus Brentwood Town, and Redbridge have a trip to Norfolk to take on Wroxham. Meanwhile, in the Isthmian North, and it's... Sorry, one second. There we go, Saturday's fixtures, the ones I've done. Midweek games, Brentwood Town host Leaders Lowestoft Town on Tuesday night. Also on Tuesday, Redbridge are at home to Ipswich Wanderers. Walthamstow face Basildon United. And on Wednesday, Brightling Sea Region travel to Goulston. All of those are 7:45 kickoffs. And also at Step 4, Waltham Abbey have an away game in the Southern League Division 1 Central at Hadley on Saturday. I'll run through Steps 5 and 6 very shortly.
Spend some of your Saturday afternoon with Spencer Carter and the Weekend Wind-Up. Great pop music, forgotten classics, and some laughs along the way. Every Saturday from midday, only on Phoenix FM.
So, turning our attention to the Essex Senior League on Saturday. Friday, to be precise, Hullbridge Brooks played with the Town. A couple of cup games, several cup games Saturday. FC Clacton versus Coggeshall Town. Takeley versus Sporting Bengal. Saffron Town versus Frenford and Stanbury Rovers take on Housedead Town. These ones are league games. Barkey versus Wyatt Ensign. Romford versus Stanbury Pegasus. And on Monday night, Woodford Town play Frenford. Tuesday night sees FC Clacton take on Wyatt Ensign. Saffron Walden versus Sporting Bengal United and Tilbury versus West Essex. Wednesday sees Athletic Newham play Barking. A couple of cup games on Tuesday. There is one more tie in the Essex Senior Cup. Buckhurst Hill versus Canvey Island. That's the fourth round of the Essex Senior Cup. Also on the same night, incidentally, in that competition, Walden and Tiptree take on Witham Town. Monday night sees Aveley versus Dagenham and Redbridge, and that will round off the fourth round ties, and then the competition reaches the quarter final stage. And finally, in the Thurlow Nuns Division 1 South and North, taking a look at the weekend's fixtures. Friday night sees Basildon Town take on May and Baker. And also Saturday's games, Clapton versus Barkingside, Dubbo Town versus Enfield Borough. Harlow Town versus Hackney Wick, Newbury Forest versus Cannon's Wood, Parkview against Hutton, Southend Manor take on Brimsdown, St Margaret'sbury versus the leaders Clapton Community, Tower Hamlets against Benfleet, and Wembley Rovers versus Hoddesdon Town. All of those at 3 o'clock. Three games on Wednesday night, the 17th, all at 7:45. Barkingside versus Benfleet, Basildon Town versus St Margaret'sbury, and Dunmo Town versus Hackney Wick. Meanwhile, in the Thurlow 9 Division 1 North on Saturday, Holland are at Cornard United, and Harwich and Parkston away to Swaffham Town, and Wivenhoe Town face Haverhill Borough. Tuesday night sees a League Cup tie, the Royal Oak. Harwich and Parkston face Cornard United, and that is a 7:45 kick-off. And also, I nearly forgot about the Spartan South Midlands League Premier Division in Step 5. Stansted have a couple of games this week. They're home to Colney Heath at Hargrave Park on that's on Tuesday night. Ahead of that, on Saturday, they have an away match at London Lions with a 3 o'clock kick-off. So that is pretty much that. Thank you for your company this evening. I should be back on Phoenix FM this coming Saturday afternoon. It will be well with Phoenix Sport. Hope you can join me there between 3 and 6 p.m. If not, I'll be back with another non-league hour being well between 7 and 8 p.m. next Thursday. Just like to thank Andy Gardner, Joe Patmore for their contributions to the programme this evening, and also to great Wakering Rovers manager Marcus Bowers for his time as well, and we wish his side the very best of luck in their FA Vars tie on Saturday. Gareth Williams is up next with 2 hours of Indian Alternative from the 60s onwards with Bumper to Bumper. I'm going to leave you now with Donna Summer and Love Is In Control, Finger on the Trigger. Bye-bye.
On the hour across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM News.